Chapter 8, let's stand in honor of God's Word today. And then you throw the week of camp on top of that. And I hope that when I preach, it makes sense today. How's that? So with all that stuff, still preparing for preaching today. Boy, when you get to chapter 8 in Romans, there's going to be a change here. I mean, it's been negative, negative, negative. Oh, wretched man that I am. I try to do that which is right. And when I do, I find that evil is present with me. When I want to do that which is right, I find myself doing that which is not right. We use the illustration of children, and it's true. Maybe they'll do something and you'll say, "Why did you do that?" And they'll say, "I don't know." And they're really not lying because they really don't know. And that's that Adamic nature that rolls out of us that is so natural. But what we've got to get a hold of today, and what we got to get of in the positive as we look at chapter 8 is this. And that is, hey, if you're saved, you are no longer under condemnation. You are no longer under condemnation. So why do you live with guilt? Why do you live with fear? Why do you live with things? I'm telling you, and we've already learned, and I'll emphasize this, there ain't a lot that we can do, but God can do it through us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:11, and I am not preaching that, but it's got to be a part of where we're going today, and that is this: if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and if you're saved, it does. He does. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what we need? We don't need our power. We need God's power. Amen. And that power lives within us. Look at verse number 1, and I'm going to read 4 verses, and then we'll get into the message. And I'm just going to preach very simply this morning, even though it's long. And I believe more that I study the book of Romans, the more that I see that the Apostle Paul expounded on what he said in Galatians. But here to the Romans, he said this: there is therefore, and that there is therefore, going back to what he had already said, I know that dwelleth in me is no good thing. I know that when I want to do good, I don't. I know that sin dwelleth in me. But listen, I'm saved, Paul said. And because I'm saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us this: who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are unsaved, you don't even have the ability to walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit don't live within you. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, then you do have the ability to walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost of God lives within you. And we got to get a hold of this fact today. You're not under condemnation once you're saved. For the law of the Spirit of life, that's where we're talking about. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice it doesn't say in sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I believe I counted 21 times in the book of Romans chapter 8 where God speaks to us about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit that lives within us. And up until chapter 8, about, I think, only the Spirit of God was mentioned several times. But in this chapter, I believe it's over 20 times that He speaks about that. You know why? And this is the reason why. Because it is not, the life of a Christian is not lived in our own power. It's lived in the power of God. And you know what? When we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit that lives within us is the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now listen to me. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. And so really, it's your fault if you live in guilt. It's your fault if you live in sin. It's your fault if you go away from the things of God. Because God lives within you, you have the ability to live. Amen. A Christian life in victory. May God help us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me in the preaching of this message today, these four verses very succinctly. But Lord, there's so many other verses in the Word of God that would go right here in these four verses. And then what we read in verse number 11, what a great verse. That the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead, is the same Holy Ghost that lives within my life today. And God, I have the power to live a life that is pleasing to you. I have a life, I have the ability, I have the unction, I have within me God's, and Lord, we already know we got the old nature. We're very, very aware of that. But Lord, we have the ability to live in the Spirit and not walk in the lust of the flesh. Lord, we can't do it in our power. We can't do it with self-help books. We must do it in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, you're there. We just need your help. I think about the grace of God and how you helped us in salvation. You will also help us in our living. I pray that today that people would get victory. They would have victory. They would live in Christ. They would live in the Holy Spirit. They would walk in the Holy Spirit. They would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, help us today. We need your help. We need the victorious Christian life today, but we can only do it if we ask you to help. Lord, the world is against us, the system, the culture, the devil, the flesh, but Lord, you're for us. And I pray, God, you'd help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Wow, for seven solid chapters, Paul has pounded to the believers in Roman about the sin and the helplessness of mankind. He has made it very clear that we are, without Christ, condemned and under the wrath of God. On top of that, he's proved to us through the writing of God's Word that really we're powerless to do anything about it in ourselves or in our flesh. In the last chapter, chapter 7, we got a very good look at the hopelessness of man's situation. And we must understand that one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul, said things like, I'm a desperate man. He said things like, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's what Paul said. And I'm going to tell you, I am nowhere the Christian Paul was. We saw his desperation. We really saw what we might call, he felt like his defeat when he said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then we saw his despair. I mean, this is a three-point message. Desperation. We saw his despair, and we saw his defeat, and then we saw his despair when he said this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What a cry. But I'm telling you, we also saw the consolation of that despair is when he said, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you're saved, you have Christ. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. My friend, we are not in despair. We are if we live in our flesh. We are not in defeat. We are if we live in the flesh. We are not in desperation because Paul said, even though the evil is present with me, even though I cry out, O wretched man, even though I say when I want to do that which is right, I find myself doing that which is wrong. You know why? Because we're walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Because I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. And then immediately in chapter 8, verse number 1, he says, hey, therefore, hey, because of, hey, let me remind you that if you are saved by God's grace, there's no condemnation. You are no longer under the wrath of God. And our struggle with sin, as described in the previous chapters, here's what we got to get a hold of. We need help outside of ourselves. We must have help outside of ourselves. Today, people say, well, believe in yourself. Try harder. Follow your heart. God says, no, you need me. You need my help. You need the Spirit of God. You know what? We could say it like this. One writer said it like this. We need supernatural intervention. That's a great way to put it. And that supernatural intervention is found in the Spirit of God. Now, I wrote this down because I read 21 times in the chapter. And so go and find them too. I mean, because there'll be somebody go, well, I found 19. Well, I found 21. 21 times at least in the chapter that we are reading right now and will be in for quite some time, the Bible refers to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God over 20 times. Now the significance of that is only 4 times in the previous chapters was the Holy Spirit mentioned. And in the text that we read, the whole text of chapter number 8, the Bible gives us the answer to our Christian life. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The phrase, the Spirit of life, that we see here in the text that we've set, indicates that it is the Holy Spirit of God that gives us spiritual life. Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. Let me tell you something. There is no spiritual life apart from the Spirit of God. You can't be spiritual walking in the flesh. You can't be spiritual living a carnal life. Therefore, it is important for us to understand and to appreciate that God wants to help us every day, every hour, every minute. And here's the whole idea of chapter number 8, if I could just summarize it this way. The only way to be free from the law of sin and death is through the supernatural intervention of the Spirit of God that lives within us. We have a new freedom. We have been saved by the grace of God. Jesus promised this in John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And you know what Paul expounds upon in Romans? The liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Now there is a rampage of false doctrine that permeates Christianity where people say, I'm free in Christ, and they try to define that to say, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And that is not freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ means that I am free and I have liberty to do that which Christ would want me to do and live a life that is pleasing to Him. You see, people say that so they can do whatever they want in the flesh and then say that I'm free to do whatever. Listen, you are free to do whatever, but you are taking the Scripture totally out of its context. Because we are free to do that which is right, not free to do that which is wrong. But I want you to understand, we are no longer condemned for our sin. And I want to explain this if I can, because if you do wrong, you are still doing wrong. You will still have to pay the penalty of whatever that sin is. But I want you to understand here, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The word therefore, and I've always learned this when I was in college and studying, when you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. And it always refers back to something previously that has been said. And I'm telling you, verses 14 through 24, in the last several messages, that's what he's talking about. Therefore ties this statement to what Paul said about, hey, when I do that which is wrong, when I try to do right, I do wrong. Evil is present with me. And oh, wretched man that I am. He says, hey, 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 listen to me. Therefore now and salvation. Then he says, now there's no condemnation. You're not under condemnation. Jesus Christ took care of the condemnation. The Word of God is now giving us the answer to the hopelessness that man has when Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Praise God, it's not over with. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. If you don't get anything else this morning and you're saved, you better get a hold of this. I'm not condemned any longer. When I was unsaved, I was under the wrath of God. When I was unsaved, I was under condemnation. When I was unsaved, I was on my way to hell. When I was unsaved, I lived after the flesh because I had no ability to live after the Spirit because I didn't have the Spirit. But now I am saved. April 1984, I got saved by the grace of God. The Spirit of God moved in. Everything didn't get cleaned up overnight. But a lot of things, but when God came in, there was a lot of things He said, "Hey, you can't do this anymore, and you can't do that anymore." And I came to the place where I got rid of a lot of stuff. I changed a lot of things. And then there were some things that God had to work on my heart about. But I want to tell you something. Here's the testimony of a changed man when Paul said, Now no condemnation. Now no condemnation. You know what that means when you say now? Well, now means there's a past. And he had a past. Oh, wretched man that I am, in chapter 7. Now he's talking about a changed man. I think about Paul and his testimony and how he was a Pharisee and how he was very zealous for the law and how he condemned Christianity, and he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. The Bible said that he held the coats of those. I mean, he was there. He was there. But then on the road to Damascus, he got saved. Next thing you know, he is getting baptized into the church at Damascus. The next thing you know, same people that he was yoked up with and trying to hurt people, now they're trying to hurt him because he's got a testimony. He goes down to Jerusalem and all the apostles are afraid of him because they've heard of his testimony in the past. But eventually, they stand before Paul and they see a man that's been changed and saved by the grace of God. God bless Barnabas, who took Paul and was the great son of consolation. I mean, Barnabas was a great man to say, "Hey, I see a changed man." You know what Paul is able to say? "Oh, wretched man that I am." But now he's saying, therefore now, there is no condemnation. Here's a testimony of a changed man. He's not talking about the wretched man of chapter 7. He's talking about the changed man of chapter 8. You see, my friend, I've got a future. You can't take away my salvation. No longer is he condemned, but he cries out, "There is therefore now no condemnation." We could also understand, "Now all things have passed away and all things have become new." Paul is no longer imprisoned by the flesh. He is empowered by the Spirit of God. And we're the same way. People sit in church and they look around and they go, "Well, I'll be glad when this is over." You are so carnal. You don't even know where you're at. You are so carnal. There's people that sit in church and they understand, "Why don't I have any victory? Why do I feel guilty?" Because you're living in the flesh and you're not living in the Spirit. I mean, I don't mean to be ugly today, but I'm going to get ugly. Because it is just so important to understand you do not have to live a life that is unpleasing to God. You do not have to live in the flesh. You choose to live in the flesh. Paul is no longer imprisoned by the flesh. He's empowered by the Spirit. He's no longer under sin. He's been freed by Jesus Christ. He's no longer a slave. He's a saint of God. And I'm telling you, you can't get a more emphatic statement when it says to God's people, "Hey, you're no longer under condemnation." You know, people can say a lot of things, but one thing they can't say, "I'm not condemned any longer. I was under the wrath of God, but now the Spirit of God lives within me." And there's a great truth that we all need to get a hold of this morning. If we're ever going to enjoy the Christian life, you better get a hold of this. You're not under condemnation. Quit living like it. Don't live like it. Too many believers have not accepted the blessed truth of the words, "There is no, therefore now no condemnation." There are God's people today that are living a miserable life. They're under the load and the guilt of sin, but yet they've been forgiven of it. And it's like they want to hash it up. Hey, Let the past be the past. If God buried it, then let it be buried. Somebody say amen. And there's God's people that have no peace, no prosperity, no power. They're miserable existence. You know why? They're carnal. Well, preacher, I'm just telling you, who do you think you are? I'm just telling you what Paul said. Speaking of the fact that we are no longer condemned, one writer wrote it like this, and when these guys write this stuff, Barnhouse is what who said it, and I quote him. He said, now listen, people, listen. The awareness of this present glorious liberty and freedom is one of the greatest spiritual forces that can ever be unloosed in the life of a believer. You get a hold of the fact that you're no longer condemned, it will bring freedom into your life and it will bring liberty. So the question is, how come so many of God's people are still living in the guilt of their past? Because they're living under the law, and the law condemns. Many Christians are on a guilt trip when they should be on a grace trip. We've been saved by the grace of God. And again, I think about the Galatians, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, because here they were, they had been saved by the grace of God, and all of a sudden they allowed people to come in and to say, well, you got to add the law, you got to be circumcised, you got to do this, you can't be saved unless you add all of these things. And Paul said, listen, to the believers in the Galatian area, he said, you've been saved by the grace of God. Why would you allow Judaizers to bring you back under the law? Paul wrote to them and he said this in Galatians 1. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Then he said this, unto another gospel. Because my friend, if you go outside of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got another gospel. When you try to add some kind of work to your salvation, that's another gospel. And Paul said, hey, you're free. You're no longer condemned. Many have trusted the God of grace to remove the penalty of sin, but they don't hand him over the guilt of their sin. God has freed them, but they remain under bondage. Here's what he would also say to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 9. He said, but now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. I like that word. I read that three times. Beggarly elements. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You want to go back to bondage? You want to go back to the beggarly elements of the world? Don't do that. Listen, you've been saved out of the world. You don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. All Christians need to get a hold of the truth. When God justified you, He not only removed the condemnation of sin, listen to me, He removed the guilt of sin. We're the one that holds on to guilt. God's already saved us from that. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of Acts that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hey, how many times have we said through the preaching of Romans, you can't get saved by good works. Can't get saved by the law. You can only get saved through belief in Jesus Christ. And then he said, hey, you've been justified from all things. It's very clear that you cannot be saved by the law of Moses. The law condemns. It cannot remove the penalty. Instead, the law demands a penalty. The law pronounces us guilty and demands death. And when believers attempt to live by the law, they remain under the guilt. But when God justifies us, that justification extends to the removal of the guilt of sin. Now, I'm going to try to get you to understand this with an illustration. If you go out and commit a crime against someone, the victim of that crime can choose to forgive you, but you are still guilty of the crime. No amount of forgiveness can change the fact that the law was broken and there was a crime that was committed. In other words, the victim can forgive, but he cannot justify you. The law is going to have to take care of that matter of breaking the law. But listen to this. Get a hold of this. When a sinner comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, God does something. He does both. He justifies, He forgives. Forgiveness means we got removed from the penalty of sin, but justification means we've been removed from the guilt of the sin. Justification means you are not merely a forgiven criminal, you are now have been made righteous. Wow. That's the grace of God. You can't get any better than that. That's why Paul told the Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We must get a hold of the truth of this passage that there is now no condemnation. That's liberating. That is liberating. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." John 3:18. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Another passage, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not, and shall not, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We're no longer condemned. Amen. We can die today because there's no condemnation, and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. Now here's another thing. I love these nuggets. The word condemnation that's found here appears only in the book of Romans. Doesn't appear anywhere else. A different word over in the book of John. But it means, here's what it means here. It's a word that speaks of a sentence handed down for a crime. The emphasis is not so much on the verdict as on the penalty that the verdict demands. The penalty has been clearly stated. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life means no condemnation. Instead of being under God's condemnation, we're at peace with Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Our position is totally different than it was before we got saved. I think about books like Colossians and Ephesians and those books where it talks about how that we're seated in heavenly places. And I keep thinking, well, I'm not there yet. But God says it's less, you're already there. And by the way, you can't be seated in heavenly places unless there's no condemnation. You can't have eternal life unless there's no condemnation. All these people who believe they can lose their salvation, they're always believing that they can be under condemnation when God says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Either you're saved or you're not saved. It's like being born. You're either born or you're not born. And I look out there among you and say, there's a lot of people in here that have been born, because I can see them. And you can only be born again one time. And here in our chapter that we're finally at, he speaks of a new man in Christ, that the believer who's been saved by the grace of God is no longer under the law, but he's in Christ. And Jesus satisfies the demands of the law on the believer's behalf. He did it all for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says it like this: "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." All believers are that have a new standing with Christ. And again, I know Paul's given us some nuggets along the way, like justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. And we've already preached a long time on what the word justified means. It means to be declared righteous. Do you understand this? That not only are we under no condemnation, but we've been justified. And the word justified means just like we've never sinned. Why is it we're just like we've never sinned? Because we have imputed upon us not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And when you look at the word justified, it means to be declared righteous. Webster defines justification as to pardon and clear from guilt. To absolve or to acquit from guilt and a merited punishment, and to accept as a righteous on an account of the merits of another in the case of salvation, that being Jesus Christ, or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. Salvation's awesome. Because I'm no longer guilty. Justification is the act of God whereby He declares the forgiven sinner not only to be forgiven and not only to be under no longer condemnation, but righteous. Now, I have a hard time with that because I know Jeff Abels. But I know this, I'm righteous not in myself, I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. And you know what one of the down payments of our salvation is? Holy Ghost moves in. When you go out and buy a house, sometimes they'll ask for earnest money. And the more they want, the more they think you want the house, sometimes the more they earnest money they want. And so let's just say that you put down $5,000 for that house. That is a way of you saying, hey, I want that. Well, God's, and you're going to take possession of that house. And so God says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. That's your down payment. That's your earnest money for you to know that you're no longer under condemnation. For you to know that you've been saved. For you to know that you're seated in heavenly places. When the Bible says you're seated in heavenly places, it's like God says you're already there. We just hadn't made the transition yet. But when God says it's like you're already there, I'll go ahead and take God's word for it. Because when He sees us, you know what, God? When He sees us, He sees Christ. The devil, he'll accuse you and he'll go to God and say, do you see that? And God said, well, all I see is Jesus Christ. Paul identifies us now as those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit in verse number 1. Paul is giving us a condition for being saved, but a fact concerning one, is not giving a condition for being saved. He's given us a fact concerning those who are saved. You're saved? Walk after the Spirit. Condemnation was not removed because of our conduct. Condemnation was removed because of our position in Jesus Christ. When we were saved, I'll say it again, we were given the Holy Spirit. Isn't that hard to understand? And I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and I was talking about when I got saved. Listen, when I got saved, there were certain things, and it was my language. The day after I got saved, I could not say the things I'd said before. I mean, it was like God was showing me something that was real in my life. And that might be different for everybody else. I'm just telling you, I couldn't say the things that I had said. I couldn't. Now, there was other things I didn't even know. I had no idea about certain things. I've given you my testimony before, but I'm going to tell you, when I got saved and God moved in and there were certain things I knew I should be doing and I started doing those things, then I was like, is this right or is this wrong? I'm just telling you how ignorant I was at 24 years old. I didn't even know if it was right or wrong to wear blue jeans. I'm just being honest. So I got rid of all my blue jeans till I found out if it was okay or not. I sold my golf clubs because I didn't know if it was right or wrong to play golf. I had no idea. For me, it was wrong because I played golf every Sunday. I played golf every Sunday at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. You know why? I played at 7 o'clock in the morning? So I could be home by 12 to start watching football all day. So I quit watching football and I quit playing golf because I didn't know if it was right or wrong. Now I got a little bit more maturity and I actually found out, you know what? It's not a sin to wear blue jeans. It's not a sin to play golf. Praise God that I got through that one. But anything can be an idol. Anything can take you away from Christ. But I'll tell you something, when God moves in, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. And you know what? You read the Bible and you find out what is right and what is wrong, and you'll want to do that which is right. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 6:4, now being endued with power from on high. He has liberated us from the power of the flesh, and now we walk in newness of life. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hey, listen, we're not under condemnation. And we're also not controlled by sin. Look at verse number two. Not only are we no longer condemned, but verse number two says, there it is, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Here's a higher and powerful law at work. By the law of the Spirit of life, the believer is delivered from the law of sin and death. And he would say, by the law of sin and death, I must die for my sin. But listen, Jesus took my place. He did it for me. And therefore, he said it like this in Galatians. Again, I'm just telling you how much Galatians and Romans intertwine, and the things that Paul said to the Galatians, he expounds to the Romans, and he said in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know why you're guilt? We have guilt because you're walking in the flesh. Well, preacher, I can't help it. Yes, you can. You're a liar. You can help it because you have the Spirit of God. You choose not to if you're living in guilt. God does. Hey, listen, there is no reason to live a life of guilt. Why? Because we're under no condemnation. We walk after the Spirit. We don't have to sin. There's more powerful force at the work in a believer. And that's why we talk about supernatural power. John declared it like this in 1 John 4. I love this verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No wonder Paul said to the Corinthians, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Romans 8, verse number 3. Look at the next verse. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. For what the law would not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Hey! Jesus took care of it for you. Oh, preacher, you don't know how hard it is. Well, yes, I do. I live in flesh too. But I'm just telling you what's available. Notice that the problem with the law is our flesh. We are the problem. How many messages have I preached this? We're the problem. At least two. The problem's not the Bible. The problem is not the law. Paul had already said in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. Hey, the Ten Commandments are good. Amen. They are good. Paul establishes the fact that God's law is holy, God's law is just, and God's law is good. The problem is without the Spirit of God living within us, we don't have no power against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes people go, I just can't believe they do that. Well, I can. They don't have Christ living within them. They're going to do what the culture says. They're going to do what the devil says. They're going to do what their flesh says. They're going to follow their heart. They're going to be their own person. They're going to do whatever it is they want. Why? Because they ain't got salvation. But God help us, Christians shouldn't be that way. Because they have the power of God living within them. Yes, the trouble is the wicked and the depraved flesh, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He will even say that in verse number 7. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The law is a religion of perfection. If you offend in one point, James says you've offended all. And the law demands perfection, and our flesh is incapable of that. Now Paul points out that Jesus conquered the sin for us. He lived a perfect life, and in doing so, he satisfied the righteous demands of the law. Paul says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the flesh. Now there is three things. I mean, there's three great truths right here. There is, first of all, the virgin birth in this verse. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's the virgin birth. The incarnate Son of God came into the world. God came into the world. And without controversy, Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. When Jesus was on earth, He was God in human flesh. He was 100% God, and He was 100% man. Notice He did not have sinful flesh. He just came in the likeness of sinful flesh. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. John said in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Listen to this. Full of grace and truth. Peter said, we've handled the Word of God. Since it's impossible for the law to produce righteousness in man, God sent His Son in our likeness, in the body of flesh, to meet the law's demands. You don't have to do it. He's already done it for you. Therefore, there's no condemnation. Second, He talks about the atonement. Listen, He didn't just come to visit. He came to take care of sin. Jesus came as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. For He hath made Him sin to be... 2 Corinthians 5. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ, he declared before his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Every Jew knew exactly what he was talking about. Propitiation is a great word, and it means the act of appeasing wrath. God did that for us. And because of that, guess what? No condemnation. And then he talks about the resurrection. When Jesus came out of the tomb, He condemned sin in the flesh. Again, I go back to verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, are you saved? Then He dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm going to tell you something. We are no longer condemned. We no longer have to live in sin. We no longer have to continue in sin. You don't have to continue in sin. Look at verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now listen to me, and I'm going to wrap this up. Try to. At the moment of salvation, we became a new creature. And we became a partaker of the divine nature. And as we grow in Christ, putting off the old man and putting on the new, you can experience victory in Jesus Christ. The word put off means this. Put off. That's what put off means. Put off. Put on means this. I might shouldn't have done that. I got a bad arm. Might need help. I do this every day. I usually get Robin to help me. I can't do that no more. Hey, Robin, help me with my jacket. How am I going to do that? Put off, put on. We no longer live according to the dictates of the depraved nature, but according to the power and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. New position. When a sinner is saved, he's saved. He has eternal life. He is no longer condemned. The flesh is that which I do, and that's me. It speaks of that which I produce with my own ability. But the Spirit refers to that which God does in me by the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to understand, the Bible always takes the position that the new life, listen to this, produces a new direction. The person who is born of God is not satisfied to wallow in the sinful mire of the world. He has a desire to live for Christ. The whole idea of repentance is a turning from sin to God. Bible repentance doesn't mean that one gets immediate victory over every sin of his life, but it does involve an attitude of being fed up with it and having a desire for a Christ-like life. Repentance says, stop doing what you're doing and start doing what's right. That's what repentance means. Now, let me give a conclusion here. And I know you've been waiting on that. If you don't get anything else, get this. If you're saved, you're no longer under condemnation. Man is in a hopeless situation apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Self-help books, seminars, they're all insufficient to overcome sin and death. The only solution for the lost is to hear the gospel, experience conviction that comes from the Spirit of God, to repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, you are born of the Spirit. That is a supernatural intervention. You need that for salvation, but you also need that for everyday living. If you're constantly living after the flesh, you have some evaluating to do. Have you really been born again? Life is different when the Spirit moves in. First of all, make sure you're saved. And then if you are saved, remember this. The Spirit of God lives within you. And you're not under condemnation, so don't live like you are. Stop it. As a believer, you do not have to live a life that is dominated by fleshly desires. The Spirit is at work in you to make you like Christ. It won't automatically happen. In fact, a crucifixion has to take place. And by the way, when Paul talks about crucifying the old man, you know the thing about crucifixion? It is a slow, painful death. You'll notice that on the cross, at the cross of Calvary, that the Roman soldiers wanted to go home to supper. I think how cruel, how wicked and mean and cruel they were. And so they knew that this was a cruel death, and the person that was being crucified would push himself up so he'd get some air. So what they did was they went up there and broke their legs right in half, and then they would fall, they couldn't breathe, and they would suffocate to death very quickly. When they got to Jesus, he was already dead. That's why the Bible declares not a bone in his body was broken. They might have all been out of joint, but none of them were broken. But I want you to understand that the Spirit is at work in you to make you like Christ, and it will not happen automatically. Crucifixion is a slow process. It will not automatically happen. But here's how it can happen. When you yield to the leading of the Spirit, say yes to the leading of your life. Now, I want you to understand, the world doesn't understand the supernatural intervention of the Spirit of God. They don't get that. But we do. We are blessed to know the difference that He makes in our life. We would not have a home in heaven nor help on earth if it were not for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and praise God for His intervention in our life. Now, we're just getting started in Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of stuff here. But the first thing is to get this. Hey! We're no longer under condemnation. And we don't have to be controlled by sin. Amen. And verse number 4, I'll say it again, verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, we are to walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. If you're not saved, you can't do that. But if you're saved, you can. Walk in the Spirit, and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what that's called? Supernatural intervention. God is good. We are no longer under condemnation. Let's stand this morning, every head.